Today is the last in our series on what we learn about the Word of God in the first few chapters of John's Gospel. We've been working our way through some of the themes in the first few chapters of John's Gospel. And today we come to John chapter 6. But it's towards the end of John's Gospel that he sets everything that he has written in the context he wants it to be in when he says these words. But these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That is why John wrote this gospel. That's why he's called John the Evangelist. He wrote the gospel that we might believe, and by believing, that we might have life. As I said, over the weeks, we've seen the different themes emerging. Living water, new birth, darkness and light. Today another theme emerges, and that's the theme of hunger. Hands up if you've ever been hungry. I'm just checking if you're awake. It's all right. I think we've all been hungry at some point. You know, hunger or food is one of the very basic human needs, along with water. We can last maybe 3 days without water at a push. We can last maybe 3 weeks without food at a push. But most of us start feeling hungry after a few hours. It's a basic human need. And Jesus knows this. And he takes this theme and he develops the theme of hunger throughout today's reading. 2 weeks ago, he was down in Jerusalem. Today, he's back in Galilee. And the day before, he has done perhaps one of his best known of miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. And John in his gospel tells us that in response to the miracle of the feeding of 5,000, at least 5,000, we think there's more than that, the people had wanted to make Jesus their king. But Jesus had slipped away and he'd crossed back over to the other side of the lake. And by the time the crowds come round the lake and find out where he is, he's in the town of Capernaum, which is on the shores of Lake Galilee. And there he is teaching in the synagogue. So just for a minute, let's try and picture the scene. The place, this is the synagogue, it would have been packed. There had been local folks there who were just there on the Sabbath to worship, but there had also been all these crowds that had followed him from the other side of Lake Galilee and were looking for him. They'd all packed in as well, so there's no room left for sitting. And there's Jesus sitting at the front teaching people about God. So we're about to hear a number of different voices speak to us. There'll be the voice of John, the narrator, so that's going to be me. And there's going to be the voice of his would-be followers, so that's going to be Christine. Give us a wave, Christine. There she is. And there's going to be, are you okay there, Alistair? Yep, there's, and Alistair's just going to be Jesus, okay? So he's sitting at the front. And let's try and picture the scene, and let's try and listen to these different voices. And let's hear what the Word of God says to us. So this is from John chapter 6, verse 25 to verse 52. So verse 59, sorry. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, I think we need to turn the crowd's microphone up a wee bit. It's the yellow one. It's the yellow one. And Alistair's is the red one. Let's start again. Are you coming through, Christine?
Hello?
Yes, you are. Good. Are you coming through, Alistair?
Yep.
Whoa.
Oh.
Sorry, we're all right. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him,
Rabbi, when did you get here?
Jesus answered,
Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval.
Then they asked him,
What must we do to do the works God requires?
Jesus answered,
The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent.
So they asked him,
What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat.
Jesus said to them,
"Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world."
They said,
"Sir, always give us this bread."
Then Jesus declared,
"I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day."
At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said,
"Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?"
Jesus answered,
"Stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world."
Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves.
"How can this man give us his flesh to eat?"
Jesus said to them,
"Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever."
Jesus said this while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Amen. Thank you. And now, Father, we pray that you would open up your word to us, that we may see and hear and believe and have life in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' day, for most people, hunger was never far from the door. They lived with hunger. Unless they were really, really, really well off, they lived with hunger. They lived with an incessant longing for what we would call food security. They wanted to be sure that they would always have food to eat. For us here in Southeast Edinburgh, not so many people experience that need for food security, although according to news reports, and from what we see at food banks, that desire for food security is increasing. But even if we don't feel the need for food security, there's still in us, I think, a longing for financial security or material security. especially amongst the poorest of us. If the sales of national lottery tickets are anything to go by, it's proportionately more poor people who are buying them. So that need is still there. But anyway, back to Jesus. Jesus had just miraculously provided food for well over 5,000 very, very hungry people. And as a result of this, they had immediately wanted to make them their king. I think to them, he was the answer to all their material needs. You know, he was the one. You know, if he can just provide food like that, then he's going to be king. We'll never be hungry again. That was the thinking. If only life were that simple. I think Jesus knows that feeding the hungry is not going to solve everything. Even today, we're well aware of the fact that the world's hunger problem is not a lack of food. There's plenty of food. Food is wasted every day. It's a lack of willingness for us to actually share it properly. That's the problem. Jesus knows this. Remember, he himself, when he was in the desert, was tempted to turn stones into food, into bread. And his reply was, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And you'll remember that when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, and she was thirsty, he used that image of thirst, and he offered her living water so that she'd never have to thirst again. He does that again today, but he does it with food. These are people who've just been fed by him on the other side of the Lake of Galilee, and he uses the theme of hunger and food. And again, what he says spirals. It starts with physical food and then starts talking about spiritual food, and then eventually he goes into this great mysterious thing that we've just celebrated called communion. He talks about his flesh and his blood. So it starts with hunger, and then it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And we're going to take another look at what he said. I've got it on the screen, so you don't need to look in your Bibles. This is verse 25. The people ask him, "Rabbi, how did you get here?" Remember, the last time they'd seen him was on the other side of the lake, and then he'd just come straight across the water. But that's another story. Where's he gone? And eventually they find him. He's at Capernaum. "Rabbi, how did you get here?" But notice that Jesus completely ignores their question. He knows what they're really there for, and that's what he talks about. "You're just looking for more food," he says. "But you shouldn't be wasting all your energy looking for physical food. That's only going to sustain your earthly life for just a few more days. You should be looking for food that will give you eternal life, life that will last." By now, their interest is aroused. Verse 27, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" Jesus says, "Well, you need to start believing in the one sent by God." Oh, yes, you're talking about yourself now. They've got it. Now you're talking about yourself. Well, then prove that you're sent by God. Moses was sent by God. We know Moses was sent by God. He proved he was sent by God by providing manna in the desert. See, it's back to food again. Remember, to the Jews, Moses was the father figure. He was the greatest of all their leaders. He's a bit like George Washington to Americans. Moses, sent by God, provided manna in the desert. They want Jesus to be another Moses. But Jesus is having none of it. He brings them back to the real issue. "The bread from heaven I'm talking about is not manna. The bread I'm talking about is a living thing. It's a person, the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now their interest is really aroused. "Sir, always give us this bread. We want some of this bread. Give us some of this bread." And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I can just imagine the silence in the synagogue after these words. They'd sort of come looking for a handout, you see. They'd sort of come looking for an answer to all their material needs. They just wanted another picnic. And now this is not quite as simple as that. It's a bit more demanding. It's a bit more challenging. And Jesus knows this. You do not believe in me, he says. And yet my Father's greatest desire is that everyone believe in me and so have eternal life. But for many, he's now going too far. Hang on, they're saying, isn't this just Jesus speaking? We know his mum and dad. We know where he's from. Who does he think he is, making all these huge claims? And now Jesus knows he's not going to have their attention for much longer. They're beginning to chat amongst themselves and get into quarrels and disputes, and he doesn't have their... So what he does is he says something even more shocking. In fact, throughout John's gospel, he gets more and more shocking the further you go in you go. But now he spells out exactly what he wants them to hear. Anyone who is open to searching for God, my Father, he says, will eventually end up encountering me. Because it's only through me that the Father is fully made known. It's quite a claim. And here we have the mystery of our revelation made plain. If we want to know what God is like, we will only find him fully revealed in Jesus. It's because of Jesus that we are able to know with any certainty what God is really like. Anything else is just guesswork or speculation. How could we possibly know what God is really like? We can only know when God reveals himself to us, and he does that in Jesus. It's through Jesus that we can know that God loves us unconditionally. Jesus is the living proof of that. It's through Jesus we know that we can have eternal life. Jesus makes everything real. Anybody who's looking for God will eventually be led to Jesus. In verse 48, he presses the point home. The bread Moses gave did not last, he says. It was just physical bread. However much manna they ate, the people who ate it still died in the end. I could carry on giving you bread, but you're going to die in the end, he says. But I am the bread of life. Life. I'm the living bread. Whoever eats of my flesh will have eternal life. Now he's gone too far. Whoever eats of my flesh, oh, don't be ridiculous. But for those really listening, for those who really wanted to be his disciples, it would all make sense in the end. It makes sense when at the Last Supper, Jesus breaks the bread and shares the wine and says, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, John's gospel doesn't have an account of the Last Supper. He doesn't talk about the upper room. He doesn't talk about Jesus actually saying those words. And I think that's because by the time he has written his gospel, it has become such an important part of the church's life that there's no need to talk about it. The other three gospels talk about it. But in John chapter 6, he explores the meaning of communion. He explores the depths of that mystery. Listen to some of these words he says towards the end. Oh, I'm on the wrong chapter. Yeah, he says this, verse 56, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." In other words, Holy Communion, it's like the ultimate act of commitment. On God's part, it's him committing himself to us, sharing his body, sharing his life with us. On our part, it's us wanting to be part of his life. When we participate in communion, we are willingly becoming one with Christ. We are saying in our actions, this is what we want. We're committing to join our life with his. When we eat the bread and drink the wine, we're inviting in his Holy Spirit, so that we might be one with him and the Father, so that we might be his presence in the world. That's what communion's about. Now remember, the purpose of John's gospel is so that we might believe in Jesus and so that we might therefore have life. That's the whole purpose of John's gospel. And the whole of John chapter 6 is really about different levels of that belief. How much do we believe? And the challenge for us today is if we'd been there, sitting in that synagogue, listening to the words of Jesus, how would we have responded? Would we have been a bit puzzled? Would we have said, well, I'm out of here. I've had enough of this. It's getting too complicated for me. No way. Would we have thought, oh, well, we saw some of the miracles. We heard some of those amazing teaching. We ate all that bread, had that fantastic picnic. Great, something to tell the grandchildren about. Fantastic, I'm going home now. Would we have sought him out in Capernaum? Would we have wanted to make him king? Would we see him as the solution to all our material needs? And then, if he didn't supply those material needs, would we think, oh, well, I've had enough of him and I'll go and find someone else? Or would we believe in him fully and completely? Would we be like Peter at the very end of John chapter 6, when people have left Jesus, lots of disciples leave him, at the very end, he turns to Peter and the 12 and he says, what about you lot? Are you going as well? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? For we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Is that going to be us? And we could ask the same question of ourselves when it comes to communion. Why are we here today? Why are we here today? Why have we come? Have we come for the experience? Oh, I love communion. There's something sort of mysterious about it. It's traditional. It's a rite. And it's just great to be part of it. And you think, oh, that was good. And you go home. Is that why we're here today? Or do we come because we're looking in communion for some sort of personal reassurance and personal comfort? Now, nothing wrong with that. But is that the only reason why we're here? And then we return home and our need is satisfied, but just for a while. Or do we come as an act of commitment? Do we come because we want to share in Christ's brokenness? Because we want to be cleansed and renewed by his blood? We want to be one with God. We want God to live through us in the power of his Holy Spirit. We want to know life in all its fullness, life that lasts forever. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are indeed here in our midst, sharing in our celebration. We thank you that this is not a passing thing, that you want to be one with us. You want to be the center point of our lives so that we might be one with you and with God the Father, so that we might begin to experience life in all its fullness, so that we might know your truth and your grace and your peace. Please come now and fill us. We who have eaten the bread and drunk the wine, come and fill us now with your Holy Spirit. Make us one. Use us for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.